as she had seen this bullshit. She asked, "Should I call the bobbies? Or y'all sticking to the stupid code of the streets?"
"Just some business between two fools.
Same thing you said a few years ago when those East Africans came after you."
"Rules the same. Don't involve the slave catchers. Don't want to get shot in the back."
She nodded. "That 30-second row about a woman, money, or a parking space?"
"Every fight a man has, on some level, is about a woman."
"Because men like to park inside other men's women."
"Some spaces don't like staying unoccupied too long, especially overnight."
"Yeah, right, whatever. You're good at not answering simple yes or no questions."
"Haven't seen you standing in your window watching the neighborhood in a minute."
"Still not answering. Cool. Anyway, I thought you knew. Went back home for a month."
"Did you go back to break into the royal family's crib and steal the Kohinoor diamond they stole? Snatch it from the queen's crown and take it back to its rightful owner in India?"
She laughed. "No, silly."
"You disappoint me. They say whoever holds that diamond rules the world."
"Next time I'll meet the queen for tea and let her get ganked for her riches."
"Get that diamond and take it back to your people in Africa."
"You know I hate politics and that Afrocentric babbling."
"So you vacated the U.S. for a while?"
"Went back home for carnival."
"Never been to a carnival."
"Then you're not living. I almost got to wind this soft booty up on John Boyega."
"Bet you had him ready to pull out his lightsaber." "For real, though."
She laughed. "You should go across the pond."
"What does London have that we don't already have here?"
"Roundabouts."
"We have one in Long Beach. It's called a traffic circle."
"London is over 10,000.
"You mean it's so boring over there you had to count them?"
"The one you have here is a dull monstrosity. Ours is the most beautiful in the world. Ours go around windmills, Chinese pagodas, and all sorts of amazing structures. Some even have homes in the middle. I've seen yours, so it's only fair you see what mine have to offer."
"Added to the bucket list. Way down at the bottom, but above getting married again."
"Follow me on Instagram if you want to see more of the things I did whilst in London with my family and friends. I posted hundreds of pictures. My costume was provocative and sexy."
"Might check it out." I nodded. "How are things at LMU?
"Almost done."
"You're doing the most. Traveling, getting educated, working that black girl magic."
"Living my best life. Hey, there was another coyote attack last night."
"We're seeing more coyotes around here every night. Raccoons, too."
"Oh. Did you hear about the dead guy they found in the house on MLK?
"What went down? We have another hashtag?"
"Bro had been dead in his bed for over a month, and they just found him."
"What happened?"
"No idea. The guy was about 40, pretty much our age, died in his sleep. Had dry rot before anybody noticed. Bloody sad to check out and nobody misses you for over 30 days.
"You have your guy to make sure that doesn't happen. I see him there most nights."
"I'm a free agent."
Her voice smiled.
"Just dumped the randy bloke I was seeing."
"What happened with you and the fireman? Thought I sensed wedding bells."
"Ain't no bitch hotter than me. But the wanker kept putting out fires all over the city."
"No shit. Sounds like you had some drama."
"Bitch found me on social media, sent me all the emails they had exchanged, sent me all the text messages. Long story. Probably why my head hurts. Need to work it out after I study."
"Even when you look like Bay, they go Eric Benet."
"Come closer so I don't have to yell. I'll make sure no one is sneaking up on you."
A car passed.
Then I sprinted across the street, ran across the island of evergreen trees in the middle of Stalker.
Bernice and I had had a couple of moments. Late nights, sometimes loneliness and a man's needs got the best of him. Same for a woman.
Women were as curious and as deceptive as men. They were just better at the game. A few years ago, I'd gone over there to put together a dresser she'd bought at IKEA. Drank while I assembled her goods, then drank and played bones after, drank some more, ended up touching hands, then kissing, feeling each other up, and when the heat was too hot, we ended up half naked and boning like boning was going out of style.
Between the sheets, she was wicked. We never talked about it. We talked like it never happened. I'd been living in this zip code for 20 years, the last 10, single. This area was apartment row, hundreds of single women and single moms, so it was a hot spot for a man, be he single or married. Lots of women, new ones moving in every month. The supply always replenished. Neighbors walked by. I stood next to a palm tree on the dried grass underneath her window. My British neighbor lowered her voice.
Jesus, now I feel like I have stage fright.
Why so?
I'm feeling anxious all of a sudden.
What's going on?
So, I'm single again.
Pretty women never stay single long, unless it's by choice.
That was a hint.
Was it? I'm too direct to pick up on a lot of hints.
I'm flirting.
Oh, thanks for the heads up.
Still kicking it with that chocolate Eskimo?
When she's in town.
When she's at your place, I can hear her doing vocal warm-ups all the way over here.
Why, you ask? Bernice winked.
Been a long time since you came over to visit. Like 3 years or so.
More like 4. Knowing what I know, can't see why a man would cheat on you.
Knowing what I know, I see why your ex-wife used to sneak back every Wednesday.
She didn't come every Wednesday.
I bet she did come every Wednesday.
That was years ago.
Do you remember the things I like to do?
Oh, yeah. Especially with your breasts. Not many sisters can do that.
She whispered, "Oh, what you have is very nice, too. You surprised me, and it was indeed a pleasant surprise. It was like meeting a man from the Karamoja tribe in northern Uganda."
You know I'm seeing the Eskimo.
Last time you knew, I had a man.
Yeah, I knew. I'd met him once, so I broke the code.
You owe me one. You made me a cheater. Fair is fair.
You're serious. She laughed.
You look surprised.
It's been years. I've been available most of that time. You could have stood in your window and used a light and flashed an SOS signal. Or you could have showed up at my door at midnight wearing a trench coat and holding a bottle of wine from 7-Eleven.
We could have checked this out. I don't want to date you. It would be odd to date a man who lived across the street.
But having a sleepover every now and then?
Wouldn't be out of the question, as long as we had an understanding.
Last time you stopped talking to me after.
Back then I was scared the guy I was seeing would look at you and be able to tell something happened. I really liked that guy. Actually, thought I was in love. And he was the one. But you gave me that strong bone, and I liked it. To feel this way about one man and to feel another way about another scared me. Didn't want drama. But you were chill about that night we had. Didn't get all into your feelings and make it complicated. You went on about your biz and didn't trip and try and come between me and my man. Most guys keep coming at me once they have been in between. Maybe that feeling of rejection was new for me. I think it turned me on.
It wasn't rejection.
Maybe you should cross the pond for a sleepover every once in a while.
Why are you coming at me like this today?
Ken Swift, you look good in that jacket and jeans. Saw you leave this morning.
Damn. Yeah, you are looking pretty hot. So,
now you know. I put that in your ear. So, what's going on?
The Eskimo.
You don't scream, I won't holler.
From what I remember, you do both.
What happens on this side of the pond stays on this side of the pond.
Really?
Really. I see you with her. She looks all happy and shit. Makes me kind of jealous. It makes me want you again at the same time. Makes me want to pray naked with your penis inside me. Jesus, that penis. Hard to explain, you know? And the way you fight. Very arousing.
Well, last time I was in a fight out here in the streets, you saw me get my ass kicked.
But not before you had beat up about 5 of them.
She had seen Jimmy Lee's family bring me a big African-sized can of whoop-ass. She saw them attack me.
That was the only time someone bested me and I didn't go after my revenge. My smiling neighbor looked down like a queen in a castle and said, "I've been turned on since back then. You have this balance of being street and being a smart brother. You fit into two worlds. I think I've been hot for you for about 10 years now."
"Never know that."
"I know. It sounds very opportunistic, but you don't like hints. So I'm being as direct as I can while I still have the nerve. That strong bone. We could be the perfect fuck buddies."
"You're pranking me, right?"
"This look like a prank?"
She flashed her breasts.
"Remember this playground?"
I whispered.
"Damn."
She whispered.
"I remember how you made me feel. Not many men can make me come, but you did. That thing you did when you were on top of me and straddled me, good Lord.
I remember the things you did to me as well."
"Do you?"
"You were comprehensive."
"I'm over the last relationship. I need to have some fun. Don't crave anything intense. Not looking to have my heart broken again. Don't want to be broken like singer Adele had been, especially since I can't sing about it and become as rich as a queen. Don't want anything that will change my life. Just want to drink, play bones, and have sex.
Or
we can skip the bones."
"You're making my day. After a day like today, you're making my day."
"Come over later and I'll make your night. But you have to be gone before sunrise."
I nodded. Knew the first rule from Booty Call 101. "I'll look for you in the window." Then, with a broad smile and a final wink, Bernice Nesbitt disappeared from her window. I jogged back, across the street to my building. I checked the mailbox at the bottom of the stairs. I threw away the junk mail. Then I opened bills from DirecTV, State Farm car insurance, car registration, State Farm renter's insurance, and my health insurance at Kaiser. Not many women came at me like that. She was one of the light-skinned numbers, had that complexion that many admired and many despised, a half-and-half woman who was never seen as black enough when it came time to pump a fist and quote from Baldwin and Angelo. If I had had a baby with her, and she had been Margot's mom, then there would have been no bleaching. Maybe Margot was right. Women like Bernice Nesbitt had it better. Bernice was categorically black, yet she was light enough to marry a prince and no one would see her as a hardcore black woman. I'd had her once, and she wanted me in between her thighs again. When she came, it was beautiful. With each orgasm, she sang like Angela Bofill. Last time I tried to fuck her into oblivion. Reverse cowgirl, she tried to ride me to the same destination. The next evening, she was all lovey with her boyfriend, holding hands, walking to a book signing at Lucy Florence. I was at that same book signing, standing almost next to her and her man. She didn't look my way, acted like my tongue hadn't opened that sweet crevice, like I hadn't eaten her pussy until she came crying, acted like she'd never had me down her throat. She was my secret. It did boost my ego. It turned me on. I needed that distraction. But that heat went away. I wondered how many men I had stood next to, men who had had my wife when I was married. My face became a frown. I thought about Margot, and the heat Bernice Nesbitt had generated became a glacier. I had to get my phone, search for my daughter while Jake Ellis was taking his beautiful Haitian lover to Africa. If Jake Ellis was looking for her, he might put his Haitian lover to sleep and make a trip without me. I'd get my car out of the garage and spend the rest of the evening looking for Margot. I'd look for her while I waited on Esmeralda to call me with info on Margot's ex-boyfriend. When that was done, if the mood remained, if common sense was still on hiatus and I didn't end up once again covered in blood with dead bodies at my feet, I could cross the pond and relieve my monumental stress as I ascended to heaven. I went up my stairs two at a time, reading mail. The last letter was an announcement that the building had been taken over by McBroom Property Management. They were black women, so the gentrifiers hadn't taken over everything. Didn't fucking matter. Black or white, a landlord was a landlord, and money was money. An opportunist was an opportunist. My rent was about to go up. I laughed. Not one fucking good thing had happened since I woke up this morning. I leaned against the wall, inspected my ripped jacket.
wanted this day to be over. I wanted to drink dark liquor and wake up after tomorrow's tomorrow.
Bernice Nesbitt's illicit offer made me want to say, fuck it all. Run away, cross the pond, join the cheaters, and fall between some warm thighs, downstroke, and work off some stress, too. But this day wasn't over. Margot was coming after me, was desperate, and was going to be relentless, and at the same time, I had to save my child from Jake Ellis. I had to save her from crossing a line and waking up the rage inside of an already pissed-the-fuck-off San Bernardino. Against Jake Ellis or against San Bernardino, I might have to do what a father was supposed to do. I knew that was a battle I couldn't win. I had killed before. I knew I couldn't kill again. Jake Ellis had no such problem. He'd buried many men in the soils of Africa. A noise and anxious voices made me jump, and again I reached for the gun I had left in Jake Ellis's car, hands and fists, tense. I checked behind me, was ready to pounce like I was a cornered Black Panther, made sure no one had trailed me so they could try to shank me or run me down at my front door. No one dangerous was there, just people passing. The boy with the bloodied nose hadn't doubled back with a gun in his hand. 15 white people walked by. All looked like investors on a tour. They were their own kind of trouble, the kind that was legal, the kind that had laws written in their favor. But I should have considered what kind of trouble might be in front of me. Distracted, I didn't notice that the deadbolts were disengaged. Not right away. I never left the apartment without putting those on. Mine had been masterfully undone. That was a sign. As soon as I opened my door, I was attacked again. The same way Jake Ellis and I had burglarized our way in Pasadena, and waited on Mr. Garrett. Someone had been waiting on me.
Chapter 15. The criminal had bypassed two deadbolts to get inside. She was in my living room on the cream-colored sofa, resting on her back, eyes on the spackled ceiling. She didn't gaze at me, but I considered her silhouette. Her left foot was on the floor, her right leg over the arm of the plush sofa. She wore luxurious stockings and a garter, matching bra, and sexy high heels. Looked like she had just gotten off work and decided to do a B&E to pass the time. A .38 was on the floor next to her, within reach. That was my backup .38. It was loaded. It was always loaded. In South L.A., an unloaded gun was as useful as an oversized paperweight. I looked behind me, saw no one else who had me on their list, then closed my door. My intruder bounced her foot and calmly asked, "Where were you all day? How'd you get in?" "There ain't a door I can't open in less than a minute."
"One day you'll tell me why you really left Alaska."
"You know why I left. Every time I tell you that story, you get aroused."
"You stabbed a white man in Whittier, Alaska. The man was your husband. He used to take tourists for rides on his snow sled, 16 lightweight dogs. He didn't come home for 2 days, and you went south to Whittier looking for him. Pissed him off. He attacked you. Beat you halfway to hell. That was a bad move on his part. He was outraged because you caught him with his mistress. You stabbed him as many times as you could stab a man, and got on a train, went back home to Talkeetna, up near Denali National Park, where the honorary mayor is a cat named Stubbs. Police came for you. They found you at the hospital, in bad shape, in bed, an IV in your arm, eyes swollen, body covered with the bruises your husband had left behind. They handcuffed you to the bed, then decided that was unnecessary, took the handcuffs away. When the hospital released you, they took you to jail. Trial. It was big news in your small town. Black Eskimo kills her white husband. A reverse O.J. situation in Alaska. You beat the rap. Left Alaska. Changed your name. She hated me for bringing that up. Her life when she had lived where three great Alaskan rivers kissed. The place where she used to do glacial tours with tourists. The place where she worked on the railroad. The place where it was harder to find blacks than it was to find Cinnamon Hitler's bone spurs. The place that held her shame. Once upon a time, the beautiful Rachel Redman was a small-town girl who had lived in a hopping town in the land of the midnight sun. She demanded to know,
"Where were you all day, Ken Swift?"
"Stabbed your abusive ex-husband in Whittier. Stabbed him while he was still in his mistress's bed. And now you've come to shoot me and maybe write a song and sing about it.
And if I pull this trigger, I'll make it pop until it stops, long after you drop.
Bet the Russian you mess around with would love that. He'd pay for your defense.
Don't start with that shit. Don't keep throwing that one thing in my face. You hear me?
Don't waggle a gun at me while you talk.
Don't point a fucking gun at me. You don't get to tell me where to point a gun.
Not today. Chinese food rested on the end table, on top of old newspapers, Grubhub. Asti Spumante was at her side. An L.A. Focus newspaper was on the table, open to headlines from Africa. Shaken, I stormed through the living room. Rachel followed me, her sexy booty wagging in protest. Wicked woman following her bad boy. She was a queen with a sexy ass and a loaded .38. This was the woman I was seeing now. Her bloodline went back to Eritrea. She had taken a DNA ancestry test, and that had been the result. Another East African woman was giving me grief.
I said, stop following me. Don't push up on me when you're angry like that.
I go where you go. You go to the bathroom, I'll hold the toilet paper.
Go watch television.
Nothing on but bad news.
You are bad news that makes all the other bad news seem like good news.
Nika, you don't deserve this love. Only so much of your bullshit I can take.
What did I do? Are you being serious right now, Nika? Are you serious? You are joking, right?
She spent 2 years with the Russian and had been the cause of his divorce. Rachel was no saint. She did what she had to do. She was both an open book and a mystery. She had a lot of devil in her blood. She could break into a locked room and you'd never know she'd been there. And that came with years of practice. She had left Alaska and had left her reputation behind her. Her burgundy dress was on one of my wooden hangers. The hanger hung from a hook on the bedroom door. It was a curve-hugging, above-the-knee showstopper, a dress that didn't require a bra and would show cleavage to the areolas. It was the kind made for a woman on stage singing her heart out under the spotlight. I could roll that dress up and put it in my back pocket and still have room for my wallet, cell phone, 2 condoms, and a pack of peanut M&Ms. I asked, so, are you coming from work or on the way to a gig somewhere?
Are you fucking serious? What do you think I'm doing here looking for you?
I faced her and met her undying fury. Her jaw was tight and tears were in her eyes, sitting there like lakes begging to become streams that led to an ocean to be created at her feet. She picked up the .38 and stormed toward me. She handed it to me. But first, I put the gat away and asked, what did I do wrong this time? Hands on her hips, her words came hard and fast. You don't remember?
Remember what? Today is my birthday.
I groaned. Shit.
Her birthday.
That was what I had been trying to remember all day. Margot's call, that slice of blackmail, then Garrett had my mind going in many directions. I stood like a statue, mouth open, no defense.
The lakes in her eyes finally became 2 streams. You forgot, huh?
Shit, 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 shit.
Hashtag men are trash.
Happy birthday, babe.
Hashtag unbelievable. Hashtag men will always be trash.
I am so sorry. I forgot. I've had too much other shit on my mind today.
More important stuff?
Yeah.
Could you at least lie? I mean, fuck. Couldn't you at least say some stupid shit like, sweetheart, did you think I was a thoughtless, narcissistic dumbass? I ordered the best present online, didn't even use a Groupon, and I wanted to surprise you, but the stupid delivery guys made an error, and I've been out all day trying to sort that out. But hey, since they fucked it up, we can just run out and have a beautiful dinner, candles and red wine, Italian cuisine, or whatever you want. And I'll buy you 12 dozen roses, get you 12 pretty gifts, take you dancing, and when we're done, we can swoop by Beverly Hills and buy you that drop-top Lamborghini Huracan Performante you wanted. But did you say any of that?
Hell no. I forgot is the best you got.
Rachel, damn it. Hashtag, wish I could unfuck you. Hashtag, I hate you so much right now.
Stop acting crazy. The day has been hell and I forgot. I'm so sorry.
I called you over and over, was mad, then got worried, and came here, broke in, and hoped I would see a dead body on the floor that looked like you. Called you again.
When you did your B&E and came into my apartment uninvited, you saw that I left my phone here on the charger. You've been here a while, so I know you snooped around.
If you can't remember my birthday, then don't bother trying to remember me.
One more chance, Red. It's been a hell of a day. Let me make it up to you.
That was your one more chance. You vanished on me once, now this. Glad you weren't ghosting me, or dead. I had no idea what was going on. I even left a note at Jake Ellis's place. Rachel, Red, let me talk. A brother can't get a word in when you're on a roll. I can't keep doing this. It's time for me to swipe left on this relationship.
What does that mean?
I'm done waiting for you to fit me in. A man will make me a priority in his life. A man who cares about me will remember my birthday. This was important to me. This would have been our first time celebrating my birthday, and you forgot? I've wasted 6 months of my life here.
I stepped toward her, moved like my feet were stuck in dried concrete.
She raised her right palm. Keep away from me, Swift. Don't touch me.
She got her dress zipped up, found her composure, walked out the door, eased it closed. I said, I got 99 problems, and a woman is every one of them. I went to the bathroom, washed my face, then told myself to try to catch Rachel Redman before she was gone for good. I changed pants, put on a fresh Ali t-shirt, another 3-button jacket. When I stepped out the front door, Rachel was standing in the hallway, back against the wall. She didn't glance in my direction when the door whined open.
Wow. Took you 10 minutes to come after me. 10 fucking minutes. You didn't even try and stop me from leaving. Do you even want me in your life? Am I wasting my time?
I'm the one who should be asking you that question.
Don't try and turn this around.
I paused, felt defensive, decided to deal from the bottom of the deck to try to get in a win, then said the name of my rival, Vitali Zavatsky.
I told you I ended that. When I'm done, I'm done.
You saw the Russian guy again after you were done.
You didn't call me for 2 weeks.
I'd only been seeing you a month, and it felt like you popped the panties like a boss and ghosted me.
You know how y'all do it. Put in all the effort to get a taste, then mission accomplished.
You vanished for 14 days and 14 nights. I was working. You knew I was working. You knew I was out of the state.
If I don't hear from a man who is supposed to be my man for a week, all bets are off, and I move on to the next episode. We had a few good nights, but men get new pussy and get amnesia, so I figured you found some newer pussy, then slipped and bumped your head.
Look at this. Why would you not call this for 2 weeks? Why would you want to take that Mandingo stick and give the Shaka Zulu dick down to some thought and you had all of this sexiness trying to hook up with you?
Because that's what men do. You didn't call me for more than 600,000 times 2 seconds, whatever that is, over 20,000 minutes. You left me lonely. As far as I knew, you had done like prison bay Jeremy Meeks did his wife and was off in Turkey having sex with some millionaire thought like Chloe Green. Fuckboys ain't loyal. You might have turned star boy. You were gone and doing your own thing. So I did mine.
I ain't no motherfucking star boy. See? Now you had me cussing for no reason. You were MIA for 600,000 times 2 seconds. 1,200,000 seconds.
I don't need to hear from you every 80,000 seconds to know we're good.
Well, I do. Learn the ways of a woman, or you'll never have one for long.
Don't act like I walked out without a word. I told you I had to go to work for San Bernardino. You knew I was going back east to do what I do to get what I got.
They have these things called phones all around the world. No matter where you had to go, they had phones. Even if you were in Villa Las Estrellas in Antarctica, or working at La Rinconada in the Peruvian Andes, or beating up folks in the Scandinavian town of Longyear Air Buy-In, you could have found internet and Skyped a sister. Or sent a text. You know my numbers, my social media, and my email addresses. Nothing. I gave it a week. 7 whole days. You know what it feels like to wait to hear from a man you're crazy about for 168 hours? I gave you over 600,000 seconds, and I didn't care how you reached out to me, even if you sent a postcard. Nothing.
You broke down the seconds. Why would you do something insane like that?
Because I felt every second. Do you want to know how many milliseconds I waited?
If women are nuts, you are the leader of the pack.
This woman is nuts because she loves you. But I know how to unlove a fool. I can unlove you as easy as I unfollow assholes on Twitter. I can mute and block you in real life.
Don't do crazy shit and blame it on love. If you're flying over the cuckoo's nest, own it.
I waited 7 days, 1/4 of a month. Not one word from you. Not one emoji. Wherever you were, I assumed you were swimming in recycled pussy. That's why I moved on.
You didn't move on. You reversed and went back to the Russian's bed.
You were gone for 14 days. This was your pussy. But after day 7, if it hasn't been touched, licked, stroked, or otherwise nurtured due to neglect, this pussy reverts back to the original owner, and she can distribute the goodie to whoever she wants, however she wants.
I didn't smash anybody. You couldn't wait to get the Russian back in your bed.
She stood in her red dress with her head held back, expression of a silent scream. I chewed my bottom lip. Your Russian lover hit you up today?
He's not my lover.
You slept with him. That pissed his wife off.
You slept with those pretty girls from South Africa and Namibia.
A year, maybe two, before I met you.
They still message you.
Once in a while.
I wonder why.
I don't see them. You read the messages. Your Russian is still in your life.
The Russian is past tense.
You fucked him a month ago.
It wasn't a month ago.
It was 5 months ago, and I'm tired of you bringing that up.
A month ago, Rachel.
You know what?
You really need to forget about last month and worry about the future, as in, if we have one.
Did he call?
Fuck! Yes, the Russian called.
When?
At 6 this morning.
That was early.
You should have called me at midnight. You should have been there whispering in my ear, kissing my neck, then had me face down, ass up, singing Stevie Wonder's birthday song.
The Russian told you happy birthday.
I guess I'm important to somebody.
I guess the Russian is important to you, too. You said he tried to buy you a $900,000 condo downtown, wanted to buy you that to get you to come back to him.
It costs $850,000, and I'm not trying to be no man's side chick. Too grown for that.
But he's ringing your phone day and night, so what's really going on?
The jerk caught me when I was at the gym in my complex doing weights.
Your ex asked to take you out on your born day.
You didn't?
Did your ex buy you a born day present?
Did you?
What did he buy you?
A Gibson guitar.
That hurt. Paused me.
Which? That Hummingbird?
The 1959 Les Paul.
That cost $3,000, right?
$12,000.
I swallowed. Felt my head throb. Big money grip still trying to win you back.
He'd buy me a drop-top Lamborghini if I asked him to.
On your knees, talking to the mic.
Baby, if I got on my knees, he'd buy me a Lambo dealership, and you know that. I ain't never talked to that mic. I will give it to you like that.
I used to.
And you still forgot my birthday.
You gonna keep the guitar?
I told my ex I can't accept his gifts anymore. I wasn't impressed. My face said it all.
You saw the Russian?
FaceTime. You have heard of FaceTime? People do that with special people?
The guitar. How did he get that to you?
Was shipped to my apartment yesterday, so it would be there on time.
You're keeping it.
You need to worry about if I'm keeping you.
What did you talk about?
He rambled about the house in Hollywood Hills, the one he bought for about $2 million and now it's listed for $3 million. Then my ex sent me a picture of his hard-on.
He did what?
Sent me a damn dick pic.
Did you send him something?
Hell no. Why would I do something foolish like that?
Not like he hasn't seen it before.
He's seen this ass, and I've seen his package before, but that didn't mean I wanted a pic. He's not my man, and he knows he's not my man, and sending me a dick pic, especially when he knew I was seeing someone else, that mess is fouler than the foulest of the foulest foul.
What happened then?
Oh, is this the nigga who forgot my birthday and did a disappearing act, acting jealous?
What happened?
Then I called him, cursed him out in Russian. We argued. Then I blocked him.
You blocked him?
Happy? And look, I blocked you about 2 hours ago, too.
That motherfucker sent you a dick pic, and you blocked me?
Don't you dare come in here and flip the script. You can't remember my birthday?
The intensity in her face, the firmness in her eyes, softened me up a bit. It looked like she was thinking about everything at the same time. I remained motionless in the open doorway for a moment. I got down on my haunches, my eyes everywhere, but on her. She moved around, shifted. I did the same. We fought to not look at each other. We both lost at the same moment. Rachel said,
I want to be happy. If not with you, then with someone else.
She turned and headed toward the stairs, high heels clicking, keys jingling, but she took only 5 heavy steps. She sat down on the concrete. I sat next to her, kissed her wet eyes. I said, I'm sorry. Can we move on now?
Rachel stood up. Her legs juddered, threw her off balance. I'd never seen her upset before. It scared me. I grabbed her shoulders and she eased her arms around my neck. Her insides were shaking. I held her a couple of minutes until she was in control. She took a step away from me. My phone rang. This had more weight, so that call was ignored. She said,
"Your frickin' phone has been buzzing nonstop since I broke in here."
I figured it would be ringing all day today.
"Who is Jimmy Lee?"
"Jimmy Lee? You know that's my ex-wife?"
"I thought she was Ethiopian."
"That's the American name she used."
"It's almost Ethiopian New Year."
"Is it? I lost track of their calendar years ago."
"You see your ex-wife today to celebrate?"
"We have no reason to talk."
"Why is she blowing up your phone?"
"No idea. Child support and alimony days ended years ago."
"Why was your ex-wife calling you back to back to back all day on my birthday?"
"About my daughter. Our daughter. I told you about Margot." Rachel backed down from Category 5 to a tropical storm.
"Oh. She okay?"
"My kid called out of the blue."
"She's an adult now."
"Yeah. We met for an early lunch."
"How was that?"
"She's bleached her dark brown skin.
She's paler than Lady Gaga now. She's gone from being the dark little Kim in the 90s to the beige little Kim now?"
"That was the start." I nodded, wrestling with emotions. "She brought the drama."
"What kind of drama?"
"Long story short, she cursed me out, left mad, so I guess her mother is pissed off."
"Tell me everything."
I posted a fake smile.
"We can talk tomorrow." "And some asshole was banging on the door not too long ago.
I saw him downstairs. We had a short meeting."
"What trouble have you gotten yourself into this time, Ken Swift?"
I redirected the conversation. "What can I do to fix this birthday faux pas?" She took a hard breath.
"You're the man. Figure it out."
"How about I take you to the Mark Taper Forum to see the new play, Head of Passes?"
"When?"
"Next week. I'll buy the best seats and see if I can get you to meet Felicia Rashad."
"My birthday is today."
I was too drained to have another fight. She cried,
"Wish you could look inside me and see how much I love you." "You're right.
I've been asleep at the wheel. I'm awake now."
"You forgot my birthday."
"I forgot this time, this one time. But you know what I didn't forget? You're Alaskan by way of East Africa. Your people are Eritrean, but you've never been to Africa and aren't really interested in going to Eritrea. You're 5'7½, weigh 130, 32, 23, 36, and you like it when I cook okra. You love my greens. You love my baked barbecue chicken, but when I break out the grill on the back porch, you're going to eat until the last rib is gone. You like creamy peanut butter and hate that I only buy Jif Crunchy. You'd make the best sweet potato pie for a woman not from down south. You'd rather bake food than fry because you hate cleaning the stovetop. You put honey in your coffee. You put honey in your grits, but you prefer cheese grits. You put honey in your oatmeal. You like brown sugar in your spaghetti. You don't eat coleslaw unless you make it. You only eat the thick turkey bacon. You prefer pork bacon over turkey bacon. You think tofu is the devil, yet you pile pineapples on your pizza and think that makes it a food of the gods when pineapples on pizza should be a sin. And you hate Jake Ellis because he makes better jollof rice than you can make. And you wear size 7 shoes. I can go on and on."
"I weigh 120. You called me fat."
"Did you hear all the things I didn't forget?"
"That means I'm fat and I'm not a priority. It's time to swipe left."
"You're quitting me?"
"We're done.
We can be done with each other after tonight."
"You're taking me out?"
"But not if you're going to look like a broken-hearted raccoon." Rachel Redmond smiled. New tears in her eyes, new rivers flowing, new lakes forming.
"You know all the things I like, down to the grits, and I like you."
"Like? All I get is you like me? So you love cheese grits and like me? You weigh 120 now."
"In my mind."
She came back inside, kissed me twice, then ran to the bathroom to fix her face. She called back,
"I'm still mad at you.
Just get the ugly off your face so we can go and have some drinks." I went to the window, frowned down,
made sure no one else was waiting on me. Across Stalker, on the other side of the pond, I saw Bernice Nesbitt. She waved at me. Rachel came and stood next to me, spied out the window. By then, the Brit was gone. Neighbors initiated call and response. Someone played Mike Stewart's I'm Not From Brooklyn. Gifts, Caskets played hard. WizKid, SZA, Lost Kings, DJ Quick. Team Gentrification introduced themselves, played No Doubt, Dave Matthews Band, Taylor Swift, and Nirvana. But then again, that might not have been Team Gentrification. Black people like the same music. Rachel Redmond danced up against me and yelled, "Oh my God! Someone is playing Confidently Lost by Sabrina Claudio! This is why I love this part of the neighborhood. Nothing like this is up in the land of penguins and dog sleds. Nothing like this at all. This is what I love about this part of Los Angeles, the black pride. Long-lost relatives have found each other here. Leimert Park has so much life. The drums jamming in the park on the weekend. So much fucking life with my melaninites. I love my people."
"Keep rolling that booty up on me like that, and you better assume the position."
"Stop pulling at my dress, and get your hot hand off my breast.
Get that Alaska ass off me before it gets baked."
"Keep it up. I'll tear that dress off you." "You're stressing me out is why you don't deserve this pussy ever again."
"Pussy is an ugly word."
"Stop it. Don't start sucking on my neck trying to make me weak, and it's still too damn hot in this apartment. Don't get me all sweaty. Stop rubbing that bamboo up on me."
"Please, baby, please, baby, please, baby, please."
"No, baby, no, baby, no, baby, no. Just the tip. You know you love it."
She smiled, rubbed her fingers along my erection, then moved away from me.
"And tell that basic bitch across the street to stop looking over here."
"She's just watching the neighborhood. She's our nosy-ass Mrs. Kravitz."
"If those old women hadn't been walking by, I was gonna put her ass in check for looking over here. I was in the window, didn't have any clothes on, and she was watching me."
She walked away. I checked my phone to see if Esmeralda had called or sent a message. There was nothing. I knew the info wouldn't come that fast, not for me. I wasn't San Bernardino. 1,000 thoughts came, and I exhaled, had to refocus. My erection waned. Sanity returned. I took out the money I'd been sent by San Bernardino, put most of the loot away. On the dresser was a worn brochure and old application for UCLA. I threw that in the garbage. Then I stood still a moment, wishing things would change on their own. But I'd always been a man of action. I took out my phone, dialed the number that had popped up this morning. Margot answered.
"What do you want, Ken Swift?"
"Let's get one thing straight. Don't you ever address me by my first name. I'm your daddy."
"You jumped Kevin."
"Now I know the idiot's name. I didn't jump him, but when I got home from the Grove, he was out here waiting on me. He assaulted me, said you sent him. He tried to draw first blood. I have a witness."
"You broke his nose and maybe his jaw. He doesn't have insurance. Had to give him my Vicodin. We're going to sue you. We're going to sue you and kick your old ass for what you did."
"Can I meet with you and that fool tomorrow?"
"This is too much for me. I can't take this."
"What's too much?"
"Life. Everything."
"Let's handle this like adults.
You have the money? That's the only reason you need to call me."
"We got off on a bad foot. I just want to meet and talk. Maybe try and do the day over."
"The $70,000 I need? If you follow me again, it will be $100,000.
My daughter hung up.
I remembered a quote by Martin Luther King Jr. It said everything we saw was a shadow cast by that which we did not see.
Margot had left me in the shadows, in the darkness. Hands dank, throat tight, unable to blink, I couldn't deal with Margot's bullshit. Not tonight. This reminded me of dealing with her mother's bullshit for years. If Jake Ellis went after Margot, so be it. I was her father, not her god. Rachel came back, asked,
"Are you driving your hoopty and letting the top down?"
"Not if we're drinking the way you drink when you start drinking."
"You okay?"
I took a slow exhale. "I need to drink the way you drink tonight."
"You never drive your car anymore. You barely have any miles on that thing."
"The boys in blue can't Rodney King with a bro on GP if he's not driving."
#passengers become hashtags too. #they kill black women. Stop that childish hashtag bullshit. Stop acting like it's only the black men they kill. Sisters have a long roll call, too.
Can we talk about this on the way out the door?
Makeup on fleek, dresses hot, and these protuberant buttocks popping in Reptico.
Let me order a 4-door stranger-driven chariot for my queen.
No ride-sharing. I don't share nothing. Not even an Uber.
Your stubborn, difficult, sassy ass better remember I'm the same way.
Don't vanish 7 days, won't happen. And take some supplements for your memory.
I left that right there. My go in my heart. The rushing on my mind. Jealousy rising. I told God I didn't mean what I had said about hoping Jake Ellis found her. That was my biggest fear. If he touched her, best friend or not, that Ghanaian knew I would have to kill him. Or die trying.
Chapter 16. I summoned an Uber, and we headed to where the young, millennial, and restless congregated. L.A. Live. Rachel Redmond was on Periscope, letting her followers know it was her born day. I waved at the unseen crowd of nobodies who sent hearts and messages from all over the world. She posted a lot of pictures, never anything political, just pictures of her. She was beautiful, and some women used their appearance as a basis for self-worth and posted photo after photo online. She needed to be liked, noticed, and appreciated. I had a war in my mind, and it felt good to leave the battlefield, to be able to leave my world and fall into hers, no matter how vain. She said, "You better get your phone out and post a dozen pictures of us." I took my phone out, checked to see if Esmeralda had hit me up, saw nothing, then did what Rachel Redmond told me to do. Posted a few pics of us on my Facebook and Twitter. Did that to prove to her that I wasn't ashamed to be with her, that there was no other woman. She needed to feel secure. Be in control, too. She needed to own and wanted to be owned in the name of love. I was married 5 years, and my ex-wife had barely taken pictures with me, so this was new. Rachel said, "I'm tagging you in all my pictures. Retweet and share."
Thought you didn't share.
Don't piss me off. You are still in the doghouse.
I don't have a lot of online friends, and only a few people follow me.
I'll up your status. Let them know you're with your bae having a ball.
I took her to Rockin' Fish. She switched to Facebook Live and narrated her birthday evening from the door to the table. She had over 100,000 sheep following her, but followed only 4 or 5 people. She was a front runner, not a hanger-on. From the door, the joint smelled delicious, and my stomach rumbled, despite having had salmon not that long ago. It was the Hollywood late-night, shallow, trying-to-get-laid crowd, turning it up. We squeezed by people who were on their phones, looking at a report on Jamie Foxx and Katie Holmes, not surprised that the brother had been Shazamming that MILF for the last 5 years or so. But most were talking about the Kevin Hart scandal, cheating on his wife and getting extorted. Hollywood was all about gossip. Gossip, food, drugs, and hot sex with strangers. 20 years ago, this was the type of place I was at every Friday and Saturday night until the lights came on. A few of the younger guys and dolls were probably the grown-up children of a couple of women I banged when I was a teenager. This was the type of place where Margot would probably hang out. Very few black people. My hand ached from where I'd hit Margot's pit bull in his stupid face. That fuckboy was lucky he was able to leave there on his own 2 feet and not unconscious on a stretcher. The eatery was packed. Accents, foreign languages everywhere. Hot women checked out Rachel Redmond's dramatic dress. We were in the judgment zone. Some gave her a look, asking her to sneak away from me. After hours in Hollywood, women loved women more than they did men. Men looked at her ass too long. I didn't say anything. If I fought men for admiring her, for lusting, I'd be fighting till the end of days. It wasn't about their reaction to her, but about her reaction to them. She was focused on me. I regarded Rachel's sassy body language to see if this spot was okay for an impromptu birthday dinner, or if she wanted to get another Uber and go somewhere fancier. San Bernardino had paid us well. I could take her to a calmer spot in Beverly Hills. She took selfies, smiled so hard I thought her cheeks were going to explode. Like Julia Roberts, Eva Mendez, and Issa Rae, Rachel Redmond had a Hollywood smile that lit up the room and charged the universe. Men judged women by their smiles.
Smiles made women desirable, likable, attainable. But asking a woman to smile was the one thing that made a woman want to frown. Women judged me by how they perceived Rachel Redmond. Awesome, sculpted bod on an overjoyed woman. I was confident, well-built, an alpha male with a strong heterosexual vibe that made Rachel Redmond act girly in my presence. Rachel Redmond had the appearance of being well-fed, well-loved, and well-fucked. Women wanted what Rachel Redmond had, made some want to take it. My neighbor had seen me with Rachel Redmond many times. We had drinks and prawns, crab and artichoke dip, followed by raw mini scallops served in the pretty pink half shells with ponzu sauce, seaweed, sesame seeds, and fish roe, then juicy kapalua ribeye steaks. We ate, laughed, danced. Soon, she was two Baileys, two shots deep. A guy with a mouth painted in firecracker red lipstick came over, hair long and blonde, expansive and expensive wig parted on the side, cascading down his back. He was dressed in tight red pants, Timberlands, and a cream blouse folded at the elbows. Some men would stare at his ass, get aroused, then get mad when he turned and they saw his Adam's apple. He was that kind of guy. In Leimert Park, if she was walking away or standing at the mall with my programming, I looked at ass first, no thought. In other parts of L.A., when I was in certain areas, I looked at face and neck before I checked to see if baby had back. I'd been duped more than once over the years. Blondie hurried to my girl.
"Excuse me, but aren't you the amazing Rachel Redmond?
You recognize me?
Are you mad? That face. You are real beauty. You are fire. Beautiful, articulate, intelligent, graceful, powerful. I have liked all your pictures on Instagram. I'm spooked to actually meet you. I knew that was you. I knew it. You are killing that dress. You are a chocolate souffle. Damn, be glad I'm not straight like the size of a square, but you could change my religion."
"Oh, I think I like you. You are my new temporary best friend. You are radiant. I can see the God in you, and you have a body like Amara La Negra and an ass like Erica Ash. Embrace that shit."
"Girl, you are gonna make me cry. Okay, you can be my permanent best friend."
As his butterfly lashes blinked under his severely arched brows, his glittery red lips curved upward, exposed a super white gap-toothed smile.
"Gorgeous. Ain't today your born day?"
"You remembered my birthday. Facebook reminded me. I love your brows. First time seeing braided eyebrows up close."
"When is your next show? I follow you and love reading about your singing in Japan and London and Switzerland. And I loved the pictures you posted in Lagos, Abuja, Accra, and Uganda. You always looking good. Girl, you know I want to be like you when I grow up."
"Trying to get a new agent. They booked me to sing the national anthem at a Rams game, but after that performance, you know, I think I'm about to make a few changes in my life. Cat who booked shows in London heard my music, saw my YouTube page, and wants to meet me. We talked. He said it's time for me to move to the big smoke and share my talents with the people living in the London fog. He's right. I need a big change right now, and London can be the new start."
"You going over there with gorgeous Estelle, sexy Adele, and fine-ass Corinne Bailey Ray? And don't get me started on Craig David and that Nigerian producer, Lamar Obika.
Did backup or some work for most of them. A lot of talent is over there."
"Listen, are they paying you to sing the anthem?
Same they paid Jennifer Hudson?"
"Girl, please. It's all about the exposure. So you're kneeling or not kneeling?"
"Hadn't thought about it.
There is no Switzerland in this situation. I have options. Rocking a black glove and raising a black fist like Tommy Smith and John Carlos. You will have to wait and see how I decide to flow. This scares me. I don't want to be involved. I don't want to mess up the song.
What if a gun-carrying lunatic is in the crowd? They love making hashtags.
Never thought about someone getting that crazy, but they do flip out. Think twice about singing that anthem. I mean, with all this going on, it could end your career, unless you have that Kaepernick money and you're banked up. I think twice. That fine-ass man can't get a job, and you'll get stuck singing hooks on trap songs. You know how they do."
"Yeah, easy to attack a black woman.
You know they love going after black women. They went after Janet over a nipple that a white man exposed. His hand made it happen, and she was blamed. He showed the titty and walked away unscathed. I will never say that motherfucker's name again as long as I live.
How did Janet get blamed for what he did? The Randy White boy exposed the power of the black titty and the nipple owner took the L? The takeaway? Whatever we do is wrong. No matter how we do it, wrong. And if they do it, if they shot us in the back or hang us in a cell, we still wrong.
You are so right.
Everything they do is right. Even the names we give our kids is wrong, unless it's the same made-up names they give their kids. If we don't use the names they like, job application deleted. Ain't that some mess? So yeah, whatever we do is wrong. When you dislike someone, they can do nothing right in your eyes. Even when they are wrong, we catch the blame. You are definitely giving me food for thought. Don't want to get shot over a song. Can't kneel. Ha! All the black groups are saying is stop killing us and we want to be equal. And white extremists who consider themselves the only Americans say, nah. You better have your paper stacked before you go down on a knee, and you're in the unemployment line if you stand. No matter what you do, prepare to be dragged across social media like you're chained to the back of a pickup speeding down a dark road in Jasper, Texas. You know how they do it. I'm so glad you put those words of wisdom in my ear. Miss Isaiah, when I'm not dressed up like this, that's my real name. I'm so glad I met you, Miss Isaiah. You are amazing. OMG. I'm having a conversation with the famous Rachel Redmond! Not famous yet. You're famous to me. What's your name tonight with your crew?
Tonight, I'm Beyoncé Celeste.
That name is dope.
My girlfriends are Beyoncé Georgette and Beyoncé Simone. There are four more of us around here somewhere.
We even have a Beyoncé and a Beyoncé. We had another Beyoncé, but she was tripping, so we put her ass Beyoncé.
Anyway, my princess... We are the Beyoncés.
You don't say.
Oh, we say.
She moved her hand from side to side like the dancers in the Single Ladies video.
We say day and night and whenever they play the Queen's music. Honey, if we're at the mall and B comes on, we take over like a flash mob. Good thing they don't play B at church.
I always wanted to kick it with B on my birthday.
We can make that dream come true. Honey, we have light B, dark B, faux B, real B, rich B, poor B, and ugly B. But I'm the B of all Bs, and I'm your B tonight.
Rachel Redmond laughed so hard her eyes watered. The ecstatic fan asked,
Are you rocking Fenty Beauty too? Hashtag support Rihanna.
Bish, you know those are the rules.
You see the other white people makeup brands are suddenly trying to fake being woke and pro-black, posting all their brown girl products on Instagram? They ain't never done no shit like that, ever. Rihanna comes to save us, and now all of a sudden you notice black girls exist?
They laughed like best friends. My opinion didn't matter. Never would, among women. I knew to never make a comment about a woman's hair, clothing, or makeup unless she asked my opinion. And even then, my opinion would be however she felt about it. A Janae Aiko number came on, and they yelled, broke out singing that hell wasn't a place, hell was other people, as they danced like misunderstood strippers. Rachel Redmond was not to be outdone by anyone. Birthday girl let loose like never before, her voice angelic and soothing, the kind that made you fall in love. She turned it up, showed she was bad like Sid, SZA, Daniel Caesar, Cy Smith, Division, and Brent Faiyaz. The world applauded her singing. Rachel was a vibe, passionate, sensitive, an R&B woman with an R&B soul, a bad girl gone good, an angel with the voice of a wife, made to be a queen, and she wasn't a sister made for silly simpletons. While they had everyone looking our way, coming our way, dancing our way, I moved away, left the spotlight. I had a bad feeling. Was looking around to see if I was being watched. And not in a friendly way. My instincts said a storm was coming. My instincts were rarely wrong. While they put on a show, I called Jake Ellis. Let that woman breathe. We just got out of the shower. Drying off. I have a minute. What's up? I saw some suspicious white boys in the area. 5 or 6. Mormons. They're not down our way when it gets close to dark. We're still there sundown town. What are you thinking? Margot? Not Margot. Garrett was pissed.
You know good and well he's not going to send none of his relatives this way. That Yahoo doesn't want a war. He's a fake. Boston better stick to singing that John Lennon song and abusing women.
Calm down, bro. Charlie, I don't want my favorite boga to have a stroke. He laughed. Charlie meant friend. Boga was a Ghanaian living abroad.
Bruv, I haven't been called a boga since I was back home in Ghana.
I was going to tell him about Rachel and the Russian, Rachel in London, but his lover got up under him, heard her say something soft and provocative in French, spoke so whoever he was talking to would know he was with a woman. He made a sound, the kind of